most of you will remember really well the tornado that hit in Greensburg. Not that you were there, but you will remember what happened. Well, that happened on a Friday night. On Saturday evening after the 5 o'clock Mass, there was a high school girl from Greensburg that came up to me and she said, "What should we do if we find in the ruins of that church the Eucharist?" And I think she had visions that the hosts might have been spilled out of the tabernacle and they might find them laying among the rubble. I was really struck by the fact that it was a high school person, a teenager, who had that concern. Because it had been a concern that I had thought about that morning. I was thinking, what happened to the Blessed Sacrament? And of course, I knew that they were limiting access to Greensburg, so there wasn't really a way that one could go and look for it. But that young girl who lived there, she could go look. And they did find it, and everything was fine. The tabernacle was in one piece. It was closed. Nothing got out. I want to speak about Eucharist today, but I want to speak about it maybe in a little different way than I often do. Because often I kind of focus on the sort of personal relationship of receiving the Lord Jesus into our lives through the sacrament of His body and blood. Today I want to speak about it more from the point of sacrifice. The first reading begins to move us in that direction. Now this Melchizedek is kind of a mysterious figure in the Scriptures. He just suddenly appears in that passage from the book of Genesis. He's there for about 7-8 lines, and then he's gone. We know nothing more about him. Now he comes back up in the Psalm, and then in the letter to the Hebrews. Why, kind of milk that story for all it's worth in the letter to the Hebrews. But historically, we know very little about this person except what is said right there, that he was king of Salem. Now think a minute, Salem, Jerusalem. Salem was an earlier name for the city of Jerusalem. He's king of Salem, and it says he's a priest. Well, that was before Judaism had an established priesthood. But the very fact that he was priest begins to move us in the direction of sacrifice, because that's what priests do, especially in the Old Testament. The role of the priest was to offer sacrifices that would be acceptable to God. And what is the other thing it says about him? It says he brought out bread and wine. That reminds us right away of how we bring bread and wine. And then he offers to Abraham, or Abram, his name has not been changed yet at that point, he blesses him. Now, what was the role of sacrifice? Why was it so important in the Old Testament? Well, it was important because there was a strong awareness that everything we have and everything we are is gift from God. You know, none of us brought ourselves into existence. None of us can hold ourselves into existence. And we would have nothing unless somehow it was given to us by the Creator. And when one has a strong sense of that, then there's also a sense of gratitude that I have received, even though I did nothing to receive it. And so one of the ways to express gratitude was to take a portion of what had been given and to offer that back to God. And often as a symbol that was being offered back to God, it was burnt. it was destroyed. It was no longer usable. And very often, what was sacrificed was animals. Now, as we move on in the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices get much more formalized. They have a temple and they offer them a certain days and all of that. But gradually as we move through the Old Testament, another awareness begins to be brought out by the prophets. And that was that God was not so interested in sacrifices of animals and of blood. You know, one of the passages says, you know, don't I own the own world? Can I get animals for myself? That wasn't God's interest. The real sacrifice that God wanted, it said, was to obey His will, to do His will. That was more important to Him than any offering of animals or blood. Obedience to the will of God. Now, the perfect sacrifice was offered by Jesus on the cross. That was obedience to the will of the Father. He gave Himself fully, totally, completely for us. That's the perfect sacrifice. He poured out His life so that we might have life. Now, He did that in one moment of history. But He instituted a way for us that sacrifice could be perpetuated throughout the centuries. And we call that the Eucharist or the Mass. What we believe is that when we gather here to celebrate Eucharist, we are somehow transcending time and space, and Jesus is here in the midst of us, offering to the Father His very life for us. He's not dying again, but it's like that one action of Calvary is brought into our present. And it's here so that we can unite ourselves to Him. We can offer ourselves to the Father. Our poor, measly gift of ourselves can be offered along with that perfect gift that Christ offered to the Father on the cross. But He also gives us something else there. He allows us to share in His body and blood. You know, that was a custom too of the sacrifice, especially in the Jewish temple. An animal would be offered, and part of it would be burnt on the altar, but another part of it would be given to the people who brought the animal. And they were to take that home, and they were to have a banquet with it. And that was a symbol that they were now in communion with God, because what had been offered to God was offered to them. And that's what the Eucharist is. What Jesus offered to the Father, He also offers to us, to draw us into deeper oneness with Him, that we can share His very life, His very love. He gives us His body and blood. You know, in that sense, He's continually offering Himself. Because every time we come here, He offers Himself to us. And sometimes we receive it well. Other times we receive it less well. I got my Bible here. I need it. If you go to that passage that we heard from Corinthians this morning, right there where it ends, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until He comes." Follow the next few verses. They're verses that we rarely hear read at Mass. St. Paul adds, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will have to answer for the body and blood of the Lord. A person should examine himself and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And then he goes on to say, that's why there are so many ill among you and so many dying. Well, that's a strong statement. But what it's saying is, Jesus gives us himself. But we have to recognize what it is that we are receiving. If we come up doubtful that that is really the presence of the Lord, we are not really open then to receiving the gift. But there's also another way that we have to be aware. Not just that that host or that chalice is the presence of the Lord, but we have to be aware that if we all receive the same body and blood of Christ, then we are all the members of one body. And so if I receive Eucharist without wanting to be in unity with that body, then I am also receiving the body and blood of the Lord unworthily. Because you will notice that in the prayers of the Mass. Our very prayer is that we who share the one body, the one cup, become one in Christ Jesus. And so receiving worthily is to recollect ourselves, to know what we are receiving, to be ready to be drawn into that greater unity of the body of Christ. The thing that cuts us off from unity with the body of Christ is sin, mortal sin. That's why the church has always said that when we are conscious of mortal sin in our lives, we have to be reconciled. And we do that, first of all, through personal repentance, the desire to turn away from sin, the determination to try, and then second, the sacrament of reconciliation or confession. That is how we are brought back into unity with the body of Christ and then prepared, be nourished at the table of the Lord's body and blood. This gift of Eucharist is very central to the life of our church, because it is here that we are constantly brought into contact with the saving death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a precious gift, and like all precious things, we must approach it with great reverence, great respect, with preparation to allow the Lord Jesus to enter into us, with willingness to let him transform our lives and make us anew in his image.